Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 2:22 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 1st. Well, there are a lot of events that have occurred today. Certainly, perhaps the better way of saying it is the lack of movement from the Federal Reserve will have made headlines. But I thought I would kick off by looking at copper. It was down over 11 cents in here today. That is a very clear downward dynamic. It's breaking downwards from this range that's persisted over the course of the last 2 months. When we then zoom out a little and look at the weekly chart, it is at risk of failing in the region of the trend mean. Well, there is obviously something going on in the commodity markets that is not particularly showing up in terms of economic growth in the USA. But perhaps it has a lot to do with the retooling that's going on in the automotive sector. When we think about everything that is happening in terms of electric vehicles, the aftermath of the diesel scandal, the fact that there is an enormous amount of change within the sector, then that is having an effect on demand outlook for commodities and most particularly the industrial resources. So that's a wild card. Against that background, we have to then consider what's happening in terms of monetary policy. What kind of measures are being put in place to stimulate growth? Copper is referred to as Dr. Copper because of the fact that it is used in just about every country in the world. What I find interesting in terms of what's going on in terms of Fed policy right now is the downward trend that we continue to see in the Fed's balance sheet. And it is hard to argue that the pace of the decline is moderating. This is almost a top left to bottom right trend here. If we again zoom out, we can see that the trend has been really very persistent since approximately 1 year ago. Well, eventually, the Federal Reserve is going to hit the level at which they are going to have to start increasing the size of the balance sheet again, for the simple reason that the simple fact of the matter is that they have to continue to create money in order to facilitate growth. Well, as long as they are reducing the size of the balance sheet, and that was, the really big takeaway today from the Federal Reserve's meeting, was that there wasn't really anything to say that they were about to accelerate their timetable for stopping the reduction in the size of the balance sheet. It's an announcement like that would really be required to sap demand for the dollar. So you can see, for example, that the dollar had been weakening for the 3 days ahead of the Fed meeting. The absence of any statement to suggest that they were going to front load or at least to bring forward the end of their quantitative tightening program to June rather than September. That was what speculators were hoping for when they were betting against the dollar. The absence of that has created this rally that we've seen in the dollar in here today. Therefore, the progression of higher reaction lows persists. If we look at the Bloomberg Dollar Index, and I do think this is a better measure for the dollar for the simple reason that it hasn't got nearly as much of a weighting for the euro, then we also have the progression of higher reaction lows. As long as the Federal Reserve is withdrawing the quantity of dollars that is outstanding, that represents a bullish characteristic for the dollar. I suspect that a lot of the bearish arguments that were being made about the dollar are on hiatus until we in fact get that event. Then when we look at treasuries, well, we have a very similar condition here. As long as the Federal Reserve is reducing the number of dollars in circulation, that's going to have an effect on the treasury market. But we had the opposite effect in here today. Treasury prices had been rallying ahead of the meeting because people were anticipating that we would have some additional statement in terms of at the potential for a rate cut. But what they did was, in fact, just stand pat and say that there wasn't either going to be a rate hike or a rate cut. They're being really very neutral. Well, the stock market, over the course of the last 4 months, has been pricing out the potential that quantitative easing was going to persist. The fact that the Federal Reserve has come out neutral is a disappointment, and we've had a very persistent move in terms of the stock market. The failure to hold the intraday high on the bond market, well, that is going to call into question the ability of the trend to remain consistent. At least we're probably going to have some additional back and forth. But as long as it is holding support in the region of the trend mean, and I suspect that by the time it comes back down to 122.5, that will approximate the level of the trend mean, then there is, I think, still a fighting chance that this is a consistent trend. When we look at what's going on in terms of the stock market, well, there's also something of a reaction to the Fed's statement, for again that simple reason that over the course of these 4 months we've had a very clear pricing out of the potential that quantitative tightening was going to persist. That's a disappointment for the stock market. It was only a couple of points away from a downside key reversal in here today, and we're right in the region of the previous peak. Everybody knows what happened last time. The last time we got back to these levels, not so far below the 3000 area, then we had a 20% pullback. So that visceral experience is still fresh in the minds of investors. It was also very clear from a number of conversations I had with friends over the Christmas break and heading into January that some of the brokers, they'd been going through their year-end and early-year meetings with their clients, and what they were coming away with was that the anchoring level that a lot of people had really still sharply in their minds was the value of their portfolios at the peaks back in August and September. Well, those levels have now been reapproximated, so there's got to be at least some potential for some profit-taking, or at least that stops will now be have been introduced. Well, when we look at the consistency of the trend, we have had a number of pullbacks, and they're all relatively similar size. So, for example, when we look at the S&P 500, the very first one was in the region of about 80 points, and then we had the next one, which was a little bit smaller than that. The next pullback was about 50 points. Then we had a pullback of approximately 100 points. Well, so far, this is nothing compared to those. So there is certainly the potential that we could have a 100-point pullback on the S&P 500, and this would still be a consistent trend. Well, we also have to bear in mind that it's been an incredibly impressive rebound. So it wouldn't be at all surprising that we get a somewhat larger pullback at the region of the previous peaks and to unwind the short-term overbought condition. And I think that that is also part of the reason why we didn't have a more supportive message from the Federal Reserve. It would be, I think, almost to encourage bubbly activity to have come out with a very dovish statement when the stock market has just posted a new all-time high. What is perhaps more likely is that they're going to wait for some weakness before we see the next very supportive statement. And I think that's quite likely to occur, that we're going to have some weakness in here, that there is a very clear potential that we're going to have at least a consolidation in the region of the upper side of this range. In fact, that's really very similar to what we saw back in the middle, or in the second quarter of 2016. We'd had a very nice rebound, obviously nowhere near as large as the one we've just had, But then we had a range in the region of the peak. Even when we had the breakout, we had a range in the region of the peak. And I think that the most bullish scenario in here right now is that we get something similar on this occasion, that we're going to get potentially a multi-month period of consolidation. Then the bigger question is whether the stock market is going to sustain a move up and out of this range subsequently. I think it is a bit too much to hope for that we're going to see this very sharp rally just go straight on through. But a lot of indices that have approximated their peaks have got the room in which to consolidate and still be above their respective trend means. When we look at, for example, the NASDAQ 100, it has pushed on to new high ground, and it has plenty of room in which to pull back. In fact, it could pull back by the bones of 10% and still be above the trend mean. So there is ample space in which to consolidate in here, and I really think that that is by far the most likely scenario. But it's when we look at some of the smaller cap sectors, and what I find particularly interesting right now is that the Russell 2000 is right in the region of the upper side of its range and has encountered some weakness in here today. Now let's, if we go back and just look at that daily chart, that the region around 1600 has been an area of resistance since October. And we had that V reversal in December and January. Now, if we then look at the regional banking sector, well, obviously there are a significant number of these companies are in the Russell 2000. We're presented with a very similar pattern. But of course, the primary commonality between the two indices is that they're very domestically oriented. So that's, I think, an important consideration. Then, of course, if we simply go right back and think about Dow theory, the Dow Jones has not pushed on to new high ground, and it was in negative territory in here today, and it does look susceptible to some consolidation. Then when we think about the transportation index, well, it is a fair way away from its peak from back in September, and it is already pulling back from the upper side of this range. And again, this is a very similar condition to what we had with the Russell and with the regional banks index. I think it is important, though, to pay attention to what the kinds of companies that are very clearly leveraged to both the global and domestic US consumer are doing. So Amazon has at least paused in here, but it has had a very impressive rebound, and it also has room in which to consolidate. Costco, which is certainly deriving the majority of its income from the USA, well, that was at a new high last week, and it also does look susceptible to some consolidation. Even the kinds of shares that had really rocketed higher on the back of earnings and growth announcements like Disney do look susceptible to some consolidation in here right now. And that's against a background where that's probably all that's likely is some consolidation. Well, there is then, we're not going to have another Fed meeting for another 6 or 7 weeks. There's going to be 8 in total this year. And when we get around to June, well, then we will probably have been through a period of consolidation, and then there will be the scope for a potentially some form of assistance to start to come through. But the downward dynamics that we saw in the industrial resources sector in here really do stand out. What I found particularly interesting was that in addition to the very significant pullback that we had in copper prices, that palladium was also in negative territory, but it was able to find support around the $1,300 area. Platinum prices were down about 20, and that is now pulling back down into the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range and starting to test the region of the trend mean. So there is the potential, at least, that we could be forming a first step above the base, but that would be contingent on the $850 area continuing to hold. By contrast, the gold price, which has been really quite steady around the $1,275 area, has at least stabilized in here. So that's a positive outcome. Well, then if we're thinking about first steps above the base, then the pound continues to look like, and I'm going to retype that and just show it the other way around. The pound looks like it is putting in a first step above the base, and it continues to hold support around this 115 area. I think it is looking very likely that any deal that gets done with the Labour Party is going to result in a customs union, and one really has to question what was the purpose of Brexit in the first place if it was all that was going to be achieved was a customs union. And that is something that is obviously going to be on the minds of a significant number of people, and also that is going to have electoral consequences. But the market is definitely voting with the view that the UK is going to remain a lot closer to the EU than anyone really thought possible. Well, when we think about what's going on in stock markets, today's May Day, so China was closed. The Japanese market is closed because of Golden Week. What the other important market that I think is worth keeping an eye on is South Korea. And the stock market there has been reasonably steady over the course of the last month. It is right in the region of the trend mean. Samsung came out with disappointing earnings yesterday, and they've been having issues with their new folding phone. But the share was in positive territory in here today, and it is approximating the performance of the Kospi generally. Where we do have something to report, though, is in the currency. The Korean won has been weakening and has very clearly broken out, broke on the downside. The dollar is clearly breaking out here against the won. This represents a really very significant base formation that's been underway since 2010. And it's not all that often that we see decade-long bases. What it suggests is that the extremely internationally oriented South Korean market is experiencing some pressure with the currency breaking down like this. What I found also interesting is the almost completely inert manner in which the Taiwan dollar has been ranging for the last 6 months. This really does look like an almost managed hedge that has persisted now. Well, that I think is perhaps not all that wide of the mark, that they are trying to hold the value of their currency, not least because of the election that's coming up there, and also because of the pressure that is coming to bear in terms of the unwelcome overtures by China to reunite. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is the index that has probably got the most room in which to consolidate and still be above its previous peak. It was, it is looking really quite overextended in the short term, and today's move suggests that we are going to get a period of consolidation. So far, the reaction is relatively similar to that which we saw at the end of February, at the end of March. Well, we're at the end of April now, so we're getting another similar-sized reaction of approximately 100 points. It's also interesting that the range that persisted between June and August of last year was also a 100-point range. So that is, I think, what might be considered to be a normal reaction for this particular index. A move more than that would, I think, really suggest that we are going to be moving into a period of mean reversion. Microsoft has been the mega cap share that has done best over the course of the last month, but there also it does look increasingly likely that we are going to have at least some pause and consolidation in here. Well, if that's the case, then what is the likelihood we're going to get monetary assistance to potentially fuel a bubbly environment? I think that is quite likely. It's just that we're going to have to see some consolidation first. We're going to have to see a rationale develop for central banks to really start to lend assistance once more. They're not going to do that when the market is at an all-time high. So I really think that in the short term we are likely to get some consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.